and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I, Tom Baker, am your only host for this particular hour. And you are about to hear what I consider to be one of the best hours for an Insight Wednesday. How is that not bragging about me? Well, as you know, I consider myself a pretty good teacher because I am a super plagiarist. That means I borrow good themes, topics, insights from people who are better than I am in the original Greek, the original Hebrew, and other parts of theology. Now, at times, I am working on a lecture. Right now, I'm working on three of them at this time, and today, you're going to hear one of them. I have had five occasions when either an event or something I read led to today's comments. One of the ways that Jesus explained why he became incarnate in order to die on a cross was by using analogies, or what we refer to as parables. Today's hour is about an analogy that is spectacular. How do I know this? Well, I always know it's spectacular insights when, number one, it helps me to understand my vocation and my relationship to Jesus Christ as a pastor. And second, after preaching about this subject at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm, more members than usual said they appreciated the sermon. So let's begin with a summary of what I had in the sermon. I always like to begin a sermon with a question. Usually it's a question directly from the text, but this Sunday I changed it. It's a question that's easy to understand, but difficult to answer. I'm cooking something. The following are the list of ingredients. I'll read the ingredients, and you tell me what I'm cooking. Vegetable oil, honey, Dijon mustard, ketchup, sugar, paprika, salt, black pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, white vinegar, hickory liquid smoke flavoring, lemon juice, egg, yolk, and water. Can you guess what I am cooking? These are the ingredients to make Chick-fil-A honey roasted barbecue sauce. How do I know this? Well, author of a cookbook, Todd Wilbur, what he did, he visited many restaurants, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Arby's, Boston Market, Taco Bell, Starbucks, Wednesdays, and many more. And he would buy the particular item from the restaurant, and then he would go home to his laboratory, and he would figure out what the ingredients were. And then he would write down what the ingredients were, and then he would also write the instructions as to how to put it together. Now, the ingredients normally were only about a half a page, but the instructions, for example, for crispy donuts, took up 5 pages. So, the theme for this topic is knowing the ingredients is not enough. You also need to follow the instructions as to how to prepare, mix, and combine the ingredients properly. Guess what? That not only goes for cooking, it also goes for theology. The text I had chosen for the sermon was John chapter 10, verse 6. This was Good Shepherd Sunday. And Jesus talks about him being the shepherd of the sheep, the door of the sheep. People have to come through him. And then John chapter 10, verse 6 says this. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they, and we're talking about his disciples, they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, I guarantee you, I could take any of the members of Trinity or any other Christian congregation and say, what does it mean when Jesus says he is the shepherd? What does it mean that he is the door into the pasture? And I guarantee you, every Christian will say, well, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and he watches over me, the sheep. He finds me, Luke 15, and he is the way to heaven. In fact, that's what is going to be said when Thomas asks him, how do we know the way for this coming Sunday? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, why couldn't the disciples figure that out? Because they only knew the ingredients of what Jesus was saying. What were the ingredients? He's the shepherd. He's the door. And they had no understanding of what it meant for themselves or for the church. Now, one of the things that got me thinking about that was on KFUO, after my program of Law and Gospel, there was an interview of a woman about how to raise Christian children. Now, I'll tell you, you can always tell there's a good program because when you arrive at your destination, you sit in the car until the program is ended. And that's what I did with this particular woman. She had been raised in a conservative Christian denomination, and I think it may have been one of those non-denominational ones. And she had been taught the Bible stories as a child, and even when she was at home, her parents would read to her the Bible. So she knew the ingredients of the Bible. What do I mean by that? She knew the events. She knew the stories. She knew who Adam was, and Eve, and Noah, and Job, and David, and Solomon, and Peter, and James, and John, and Jesus. She could tell the miracles, but she said there was something missing. While she knew many of the biblical ingredients, she could not figure out how they fit together, how they made any sense. Until, she said, she visited a Lutheran church and heard about Martin Luther's small catechism. And guess what she explained? To her delight, she had now found the directions or instructions to make sense of all the ingredients found in the Bible, and she discovered they were all pointing to Jesus Christ. Last Saturday on KFUO's Lamplight Theater, a pastor was asking a young girl, I don't know, 6, 7 years old, whether she understood his sermons. She said, no, they're too complicated. He then asked her if she remembered anything from the sermons. She said, yes, I just remember the best parts about God, about Jesus, and what Jesus did so that I am going to heaven. Well, the next morning, the pastor was ready to preach. It was Sunday. And he began the sermon by explaining to the congregation that he had done a lot of study on the book of Revelation and the subject of end times. And, you know, a lot of that, it talks about when Jesus is coming back, 1,000-year reign, all this sort of thing. But there's very rarely anything about the cross of Christ in those. He said he decided to forego all that complex information, and instead for this sermon, he's going to speak about God, Jesus, and heaven. What was he doing here? Rather than just giving a sermon on ingredients in regard to the end times, he was now using the ingredients of the Bible to give meaning to members' lives. So, getting back to the lady who was interviewed on our radio station, she said before she became Lutheran, it was hard to explain to somebody who asked her, why are you a Christian? And her answer was really good. She said, once I became Lutheran and went through catechetical instruction, that's Luther's small catechism, I now say I'm a Christian because, and then she would quote the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in God the Holy Spirit. Now, see, those are the ingredients of the Bible. And she said often people would say, well, what do you mean that God is Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit? And then she had the opportunity to begin a conversation with this person and witness to them the meaning of God as Father, God as Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I decided at the next confirmation, a parochial school class of 11, that I would ask that question to the kids, and give them 15 minutes to write it out. Now, I assume they would answer, I'm a Christian because that's what my family is, or I'm a Christian because I believe what the Bible says about Adam and Eve, or I'm a Christian because I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. You see, all those items are the ingredients of the Bible. But if you conclude from them, like the Pharisees did, that you're going to heaven because of your good works, you have not heard the proper instructions as to how to use these ingredients. You know, there were people at the time of Jesus, scribes, who had the Old Testament memorized. And yet, what did Jesus say to them? He said, your father is the devil. So I really wasn't sure. Now remember, of the 11, only two in that particular class have been confirmed. The other nine have a couple more years in some cases. So how are they going to answer the question, why I am a Christian? So I gave them the 15 minutes. They wrote that out. And then I collected the papers. I said, we're going to analyze this. And because I thought that, you know, this isn't going to be very deep or probably proper, they're going to talk a lot about the ingredients, that I won't name the names of the person we're talking about, but we'll analyze what was said. Well, I quickly kind of scanned through some of them, and I changed my mind. How so? I gave the name of the person who wrote each essay, and then I took a portion of their essay and spoke to the congregation about it. I'm going to do that for you right now. Nate, I am a Christian because Jesus Christ is my Lord. Owen, because I have taught the grace and mercy of our God Jesus. Casey, because I will be saved by my Lord. Maddie, because Jesus has saved me and will take me to heaven. Mikala, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose 3 days later to save us. Noah, because I believe that Jesus forgave my sins. Maddie, because Jesus died for you and me. Hank, because I was baptized and have faith that God will save me from the devil. Emma, because Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came to earth to die for all sins. And then I got to the two people I had confirmed. What would their answers be? Alex, because I firmly believe that God sent his only Son to die for us and to save us. And finally, Jonathan, because believing in Jesus as my Savior is the only way to heaven. You see, learning the ingredients in the Bible, referring to who are the persons, what are the events, and the miracles, doesn't take much effort. In fact, many years ago, I was somewhat critical of our Sunday school material because it basically was just helping children to learn the facts of the Bible, or what I call the ingredients. And there wasn't hardly any long gospel in it. There was hardly any, application and understanding. Because even though the Pharisees and some of the scribes knew the ingredients by memory, they had so misunderstood the theological instructions that Jesus, therefore, was crucified by them. You see, they missed the true meaning. And I have to say, I was surprised that these 11 young children had a deeper faith and understanding of God and his plan of salvation than I would say a large percentage of the population in St. Charles. Now, from where did that come from? Well, that particular Sunday, we had parents, Emily and Brent Thompson, who brought their daughter, Mackenzie Lucille, to be baptized. That was in the late service. In the early service, there was a friend, Jill Boucher, who brought her friend Nathan Reed, who was confirmed. They had a number of weeks, and she attended with him every week. Now, what I found interesting, getting back to the lady who was interviewed on KFUO, she was asked, when should parents begin to tell their children about the Christian faith? And she said, as soon as they are born. What? She said, when you put the baby to bed, you might want to sing a hymn or a song. And she said, you know, they're not going to understand the words, but how many times have you and I been talking to somebody who will remind us that this is what my mother used to sing to me when I was young? You see, you do need to get the ingredients in the minds of the children. That's why we have memory work of Bible passages, memory work of hymns, memory work of the catechism. But that's not sufficient. I don't spend much time when I teach confirmation for youth on memory work. I think that's a waste of my time. Oh, so they don't do memory work? No. I have them do memory work, but their parents go over the memory work with them, and then they put their initials on a piece of paper as each portion of the work they are to be memorized is done. And then occasionally I'll have a test, just hand out a sheet of paper and write, put down the last one of the last ones was the meaning of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. But my point is, the task of the pastor is to weave together instructions so the kids are not just sitting there with the ingredients of the Bible, the facts, the miracles, the teachings, the people, but they begin to understand what a delicious meal comes out of understanding the instructions. Now, the analogy I would continue with cooking. Those youth who had just been confirmed, how much of the theological directions are they able to understand? What are they able to make? We certainly wouldn't put them in the pulpit. In fact, the only people ought to be in the pulpit are males who've gone to the seminary and been trained in theology, which is simply a way of taking the directions that Jesus gives us and putting the ingredients into proper perspective. So I said, the kids who have been confirmed just recently, I would say they are able to make hot chocolate because there's only two ingredients, water and chocolate. But I'll tell you this, if they don't follow the instructions, they may take this hot chocolate mix and mix it with cold water and guess nothing's going to happen. The instructions call for the water to be heated. And then either some chocolate mixes you pour into hot water, other chocolate mixes you pour into an empty cup and then pour the hot water over that. Whereas the young man Nathan, who became a member of Trinity Lutheran through adult confirmation, I believe that he has enough knowledge concerning the directions from the Bible that he could make a delicious hamburger on an outdoor grill. And then we have members of the congregation who are laity who have even more knowledge concerning the Bible. Now, why do we do all this? We do it all because the task of the pastor is to comfort the people as they go through their times of suffering. For example, just during this past week, another event that occurred is a number of homes were threatened by flooding because the rivers were rising. And that flooding, we had a prayer about it. We thank God for those houses where the flooding did not get to the house, and also for not only the friends and neighbors, but many individuals at Trinity who phoned houses that were in flooding danger saying, can we come over and help you? Maybe take stuff out of your basement or maybe put up sandbags or whatever. This past week, we also had two deaths of people, one who is not a member of Trinity, but whose son passed away because they were unable to do any cures for him. And then one of our members whose daughter left the veil of tears the evening before that sermon, Saturday. So this is why you take the ingredients of the Bible and you put them together to give meaning And that's found in the instructions. And the instructions come right from the Bible. In fact, many of you may be aware of the fact that two La Clique Station gas employees were murdered recently while they were working for the La Clique Station gas company. At the funeral, and one of them was buried in St. Charles at a Roman Catholic church, the priest had this in the portion of his homily. And though it speaks to the death of a loved one that we find very difficult to accept, I believe that the words can be helpful to every one of us who've experienced times of great suffering in other circumstances. Here's what he said. There are lots of pages in the book of life that are hard to understand. All we can do is fold them down and write, "The teacher says to leave this for now. 'Tis hard to understand." When it comes to the death of the person whom we are laying to rest today, about all we can do is fold down the page and write, "The teacher says to leave this for now. 'Tis hard to understand." Yes, there are many things that happen in my life and your life that we can't understand. I mean, how many times do we as Christians cry out to God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen? But you see, 90% of God's will is hidden from us. Yet we have promises connected to everything that happens to us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he will never give you more temptation beyond your ability to endure, will even provide a way of escape, that all things will work together to your good. And there are hundreds and hundreds of other promises. You see, when one of these young people died and I was speaking to the mother, I didn't say, "Well, I can comfort you. You know about Adam and Eve, don't you? You know about Job. You know about Noah. You know about Solomon." See, those are the ingredients of the Bible. When I taught Sunday school at my former congregation, I would tell the Sunday school teachers, "Do not teach the Sunday school story until you find Jesus in it." Because everything in the Bible is all about Jesus. And so that's the instructions of the Bible. That's why we have a number of denominations that believe many of the ingredients of the Bible. They believe Jesus died. They believe he rose. They believe he said the parables he said. They believe the Old Testament accounts. But guess what? They don't have faith. Because saving faith is not believing the ingredients in the Bible. Saving faith is believing the promises of the gospel connected to those ingredients. And that's why we'll be attending the funeral of one of these young people this coming Friday. It's going to be at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in St. Charles from 10:30 to 12:30 visitation, 12:30 funeral. And then we're having a memorial service for the other young person at Trinity Lutheran at 11 a.m. on Monday. And what we're going to be saying, we're not going to be reciting the ingredients of the Bible. We're going to be reciting the meaning of those ingredients. And we do that best by using them from a law and gospel perspective. There's so much more to say on this that we're probably going to be continuing this conversation with Pastor Wes Reimnitz on tomorrow's Rumination Thursday. And if any of you have any questions, though we won't be taking calls tomorrow, we will on Friday, Open Mic Friday. But on tomorrow, Thursday, we'll be only too happy to receive any emails from you. lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I'm Tom Baker. Appreciate you listening to what I consider one of the most helpful hours that I have been able to be helped with. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.